This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Into Studio A we go, WSMI's Terry Tote and the Word Smite.
The Word Smite. Kyle Hirschelman, K. Hirsch. Good morning, Kyle.
Morning, Terry.
And your lovely daughter, Grace.
Yep, Grace is here. Mom's off covering Nakoma's Christmas festivities today, so she made the trip in with Dad.
There you go. Good morning, Grace. It's good to have you with us here on Sports Saturday, kiddo. It's good to see you. So, well, we have basketball to talk about. We have all sorts of neat things to talk about. And first off, before we get much further, let's go ahead and review some of our local high school basketball scores from around the area last night. There wasn't a whole lot of action last night on a Friday night as far as Montgomery-Macoupin County schools. Southwestern beat Carlinville in a game heard on FM 106 last night, 53-38. Colin Baumgartner had 23 points to lead all scorers for the Birds, who are now 2-0 in conference play. Vandalia beat Gillespie 79-48. It was North Mac over Carrollton 70-67. Greenville defeated Staunton 61-18, and Mulberry Grove over Bunker Hill 56-51. Coming up today in high school basketball, Hillsboro at Bethany Ocala Valley, Nokomis and Metro East Lutheran, Auburn at Carlinville, Mount Olive at Pawnee, and Pena at Roxana. And in girls basketball, Pena is at Clinton. The Porta Invitational Wrestling Tournament with our local schools, Hillsboro, Litchfield, Mount Olive, Carlinville, also underway today. And one other note from the world of basketball, the Gillespie girls 8th grade basketball team playing St. Joseph coming up in about an hour at Metamora High School in the IESA Class 3A 8th grade state tournament quarterfinal round. So these are the gals that finished second last year to St. Agnes of Springfield. And
congratulations to the Southwestern 7th grade girls,
yes,
third place finish.
The Southwestern girls this past Thursday night finished third, and Pena Sacred Heart finished second in the 1A tournament. So it's a busy basketball season, K. Hirsch.
Absolutely. It's been fun so far,
yes,
though.
I don't know if there's been surprises, but I really haven't been very disappointed
up to
this point.
You know, especially on the girls' side, there's some really, a lot of good players graduated,
yeah,
but there's some really good basketball around, especially in Montgomery and Macoupin.
And I think if there is a surprise, it's probably the girls' basketball. Right off the bat, of course, Litchfield we kind of figured would be fairly decent this year. Hillsboro is going to be very good this year. I think Carlinville is a team that's kind of surprising to me. I think Darren Deneve's Lady Cavaliers are a team that could be very surprising this year and do quite well. So just right off the bat, you know, Greenville. I haven't seen Greenville yet, but there's a good possibility the Comets could be pretty good. So and in boys basketball, of course, the Hilltoppers. Waiting for the return of Donovan,
yep,
Donovan Moore. But, you know, they're not a bad basketball team without him.
No,
they really aren't.
No, and they're pretty scrappy, and they,
yeah,
can adjust on the fly, as they kind of showed in Tuesday's game at Lincolnwood whenever
Lancers threw
the zone at them,
yeah,
and kind of flummoxed them for a good portion of the second quarter. But, you know, they kind of came back and figured it out and scored a good win over a solid Lincolnwood team, too.
Well, and in that game that was tied, I think, at 32.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Hillsborough went on the run there down towards the end. So Toppers show a little flexibility here. And you know, Joe Vanzo not afraid to use people off the bench.
Yeah,
that comes in so handy, especially late in the season.
Well, and especially, you know, whenever they got the ball to who they wanted to at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Caden White,
yeah,
hit 6 straight free throws,
Kenny was sitting right in front of me.
I was going to say coach's kid,
yeah,
you know, so, you got to love that. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, like I said, Drake Payton's one of the better,
yeah,
point guards in the area, They do a good job.
Drake Payton, probably the quickest point guard in the area.
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned. And I thought that pretty much the situation last year. He was just a half a step, if not a full step, quicker than most people. And boy, he can fly.
Yeah. And whenever they get Donovan back,
yeah,
that game tonight's, at Findlay, actually.
At Findlay, not,
they
not
play,
Bethany,
they play one game a year at Findlay, they said, and and so that ought to be a an interesting venue
on the Bruce Findlay Road there. go to Findlay, home of the Findlay Falcons.
I mean, but whenever they get Donovan back, that ought to be a nice addition to them. But you know, they have enough weapons. And like Stephen Fenske and Dylan Civitate can get some points too for them. And they have some really good role players, like Mitchell Reynolds.
Well, I was just going to mention Mitchell. Mitchell came off the bench and, you know, Mitchell, I know he hit a baseline jumper, but the stuff that he offers really away from the basketball, I think is a big plus for the Toppers.
Yeah. And it's some of the same things that he offered on the football team too. You know, I mean, you can tell he's got a little bit of a leadership role and just does a really good job on that. And, you know, they released the Illinois State Scholars. Mitchell was one of them, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I mentioned on Twitter. I mean, you know, you can make a pretty good all-star team with the kids that are just Illinois State Scholars. So that's a pretty big accomplishment from being in the classroom and transitioning and to on the field, too.
And isn't it interesting, I think, in the day and age that we live in, that around here, I think we have so many more athletes who are at the top of their class than there ever used to be.
Absolutely.
Because they've taken this on so seriously and they've got such a terrific work ethic.
When I saw Kyle, you sent out a tweet earlier talking, you used the phrase dumb jock doesn't really apply anymore, and it really does not.
No, and I think part of that is because a lot of these kids want to go on and play at another level. And, you know, if you got a kid that's an all-conference kid and making C's and D's, and then you have a kid that's, you know, on all-conference and making A's, you know, they're going to take the kid with A's because it makes their GPA look better. You know, I mean, they want good kids that are going to go to class and improve their graduation rates, especially like these D2 and D3 schools. So
you see college coaches now actually with incentives in their contracts based on graduation rates. I don't think in the 70s, I don't think that was on the radar for college coaches as much.
I'm not sure Bob Huggins has that in his contract.
He'd be the exception.
But
Huggy, yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I think it pays off if you put in the work, you know, in the classroom and on the field. You know, I think it can pay off in dividends, and because you're not going to get most kids aren't going to get a full ride in college, you know, to play athletics from this area. There are some exceptions to it, but if you can combine that with solid academic, you can go play, you can continue your athletic career at another level and get a really good education.
Years ago, Coach Jim Lofka told me, I like kids who are good students. I like coaching those kids because they learn.
Yeah, easier to coach, I guess.
Easier to coach, yeah. So there you go, from a guy who's won just a mere 700-plus games.
I didn't fall into that category.
But you hung around the guy.
I did.
Yeah. So we've had a pretty good start to the season, and before long, we're going to be into the Christmas tournaments, and we're going to have a plethora of teams around various Christmas tournaments around the area, and we'll be going over some of those next week on Sports Saturday. Do you see any surprises, Kyle, or thus far?
I wouldn't say surprises. I think Litchfield, the girls have done very well. You know, I mean, I think the more confidence they get, I think the better that they'll be. They, Abby's, Brockmeyer's gonna get her points.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see flashes of really good things from, you know, kids like Jade Taylor and Lauren Carnes and
Lauren Carnes has impressed me here early on.
She has. And Emily St. John's also, you know, freshman.
She's only a freshman.
You know, and she looks, you know, more comfortable going from, you know, the first game of the season to the last time I saw her against Pena. I think the Panthers have potential to continue to get better. The only thing that surprises me about Hillsboro is just how good Sammy Matush is.
You can be surprised. I'm not.
Well, no, just to the extent. You know, she's had four 30-point games in the last, or three 30-point games in the last four games or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's that. Those are NBA Jam numbers. Yeah. You know, you have to expect a fireball to come out whenever she shoots.
Flip dunks.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, to that point, Kyle, that's something that we haven't even seen really Abby Brockmeyer do in terms of that consistent 30-point-plus scoring.
I think part of that reason, though, is totally different players.
Yes.
Because, you know, you look at – see, I compare – Sammy to more of a Molly McDowell style player. You know, she does a lot of slashing to the basket, drawing contact. I mean, she was 10 for 10 from the free throw line against Marquette the other day. Plus she made 4 threes. You know, Abby maybe has 4 threes in her career. That's
different dart, different,
you know, and
post player.
And that's something that she can do.
Yeah.
And something that'll continue to develop in her game. But for the most part, what Rob Corso has needed her to do and what Litchfield has needed her to do is to play underneath. And I'm not sure she is needed to score those 30 points. I think it's better for her to try to get some of her teammates involved and to take the onus off her.
Well, when they're playing a box in one or a triangle in two, against the Panthers defensively, Abby's got to recognize that somebody else is open.
Exactly. And I think Abby does a really good job about that. She had a really nice bounce pass into Carnes against the in the Panther game in traffic that Carnes put in 2 points. You know, I think, well, and also, you know, Rob has to look at the fact that she's going to be gone next year.
Yeah.
So if you, I mean,
you have to do a little preparation for next year as well.
You can dump the ball down to Abby, and I have no doubt that she could score 50 points.
Yeah.
But is that going to help you in the future? You know, and is that going to be what's best down the line? You know, what happens if she, you know, tears an ACL? Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're comparing apples and oranges with Sammy and Abby. I think they're both excellent players, and but, you know, they have definitely different skill sets. Yeah. With that said, I mean, Sammy's amazing, too. Mm-hmm. You know, great shot, great. She has a very unique ability to get to the net, very smart player, you know, and draw the foul. I mean, she draws contact a lot. You know, it'll be as long as she continues to get that call, that she'll be okay.
In Sammy's position, you can't be afraid to take the shot when you need to take the shot. You know, there's going to be games where it's going to be tight and the ball is going to be in her hands. And I think she's the kind of person that's got the confidence. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, but you still can't shy away from the moment. So,
and it's good to see her healthy because she missed the softball season with a knee injury.
Yeah, and also the thing is, too, she has a lot more weapons on Hillsborough than Abby. I mean, and that's not a knock on the girls from Litchfield. It just, I mean, she has some elite players on Hillsborough as well with Denzel Moore, Maddie Miller. You know, they can both go inside there. They have a talented sophomore class in addition to Sammy with Kylie Meyer and Jade Scroggins, too. You know, like I said, they're very deep. They don't lose that much whenever they bring other players in. You know, you see them racking up, you know, 60, 70, you know, close to 80 points, and that's because they don't lose that much off the bench. They have players that can play that would be starters maybe on other teams in the area. So,
well, when you're a small school and you've got depth, that is a wonderful, wonderful gift to have.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to do some things that other teams can't do. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Kyle Hirschman and talk more basketball and a special project Kyle's got going here. We need to take a break, and we'll come back with more Sports Saturday in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday. Terry Tote, Kay Hirsch.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. Kyle Hirschman, you are a one busy man, and your lovely daughter Grace is with us this morning, and I'm so glad that she's here with us. And by the way, if you're looking for a terrific Christmas gift, scarves.
Yes, we have Grace-filled jersey
scarves. Grace-filled
jersey
scarves are absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I always wanted a soccer-style scarf, you know, like all the U.S. Team USA and Premier League teams.
No, like the people in Europe, you know,
exactly.
They all have scarves, yes.
Yeah, so I wanted that, so... emailed the guys at Roughneck Scarves, and they cut me a good deal, and they're based out of Seattle and do all the MLS and and Team USA scarves. So it was a pretty cool deal.
It is.
Yep.
It is cool. How can people get hold of that?
If you go to our Facebook page, A Graceville Journey, or if you just stop by the Journal News office in Hillsboro, $10 a piece, just stop in, grab one. We got several on there. So.
And $10 a piece is nothing, so you might want to leave a $20 bill when you buy one. So.
Research. Yep, the proceeds will go to INAD Research, most likely to the Washington University study. There's a couple other studies that we've helped funded too. So, but we're really.
What's the latest word out of WashU? Kyle, have you had any conversations lately?
Yeah, we talked to Dr. Paul Kotzbauer. Mm-hmm. He's our researcher, mm-hmm. and they're very happy with the progress. It's a slow process.
Yeah. Research is that way. It is slow.
Absolutely, but they've identified some techniques that they think will work in testing. They're hoping to make further strides, and they're running two different studies at the same time. It's really good. Yeah. He's always very. Very upbeat, very personal. He's always willing to tell us whatever we need to know, and it's really nice that he's just in St. Louis.
But no kid.
We've been able to do that, and also we helped fund a study based out of Oregon for a natural history study. So whenever they're ready to do clinical trials, we're going to start getting. Information from all the INAD families so we can move straight into clinical trials and we don't have to have that lag time to get all this personal information.
Great. Isn't it great to have a world-class operation like WashU here, just an hour away? It's amazing.
We've been really blessed. Grace goes to physical therapy twice a week, once here at Rehab Edge in Hillsboro and once up in Springfield at Kids at Cokie Mill. Both Dr. John and Amy, our PT, have been amazing. And we feel really blessed to have WashU and St. Louis Children's Hospital down south too. So.
As if you didn't have enough to do.
Yeah.
Then you've got this thing going on with which I think is absolutely a brilliant idea. You come up with these great ideas and to help out our friends with the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
Yeah, I've always, in the last several years, I've dressed, with bow tie and and kind of a throwback look to a certain extent, and I've taken
donations. To a certain extent?
Yeah,
are you kidding me? It's right out of the 50s, dude.
Grantland Rice.
Yeah.
Well, but, I've taken donations and we've asked different people have donated to the INAD research, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to just ask people for donations this year. So I came up with an idea to have like a contest between the student sections and the schools, the four Montgomery County schools, and they can make donations, and we're going to collect them on December the 16th, and which is the last Friday of before that, and the winner will the student session will get their picture in the paper and will be the cover photo of the Journal News Twitter page.
But
and,
yet, there's more.
Yeah, and I'm going to dye my hair the school color. So
very nice.
Red for Nokomis, purple for. Litchfield, orange for Lincolnwood, and I'll give Hillsboro a choice. They can go black or orange, whatever they want. So
they're probably going to go orange.
Black is boring.
Black is boring.
The orange was the picture was pretty scary at Lincolnwood.
Yeah,
I must admit with that orange.
Josh Stone has been very much in favor of it, and which is awesome.
Yeah,
and slightly disturbing because he photoshopped a giant poster of me to hang in the gym, of me with orange hair, and.
Everybody noticed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard to miss, especially whenever Josh is over there talking and he's standing right next to the picture.
Yeah.
So,
They got the PA working at Lincolnwood after, 50 plus years.
I was going to say, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So it's been an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Everybody wonders, what are you going to do whenever you have to dye your hair? And I was like, I really don't care.
It's for
a good cause.
Sure.
And the thing is, some people have shaved their heads, and I look like one of those pumpkins that you see, with all the warts and stuff on it, and that's not a good look for me. Like, I probably you know, somebody complained that a weather balloon had escaped or something.
Just for pure color schemes, I hope Litchfield wins because I would love to see you with purple hair.
Well, and I'd like to, I've already thanked him in person several times, but Pat Rentz made a point to ask me whether the goatee is also being dyed.
Oh. And?
Yeah, and yes.
Ooh,
you know,
boy.
Obviously, but since, you know, since he asked, you know, he goes, are we talking goatee today? And I was like, well, yeah, thanks for doing that.
There you go, Pat. Way to go, dude.
Yeah, so, but I am, it will be kind of debut, the plan is to debut it right after the start of the year, so I don't have to have purple hair in Christmas photos.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, but I know Litchfield and Hillsborough and Nokomis and Lincoln would play each other, you know, usually that first week, I think it's January 6th.
Yes.
So we'll probably debut it there just to get full effect, you know, big county.
Cool. No, you get it dyed like in like the cafeteria at the school itself?
No, I'm going to a professional.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I will be going to a professional because, you know, like I said, if my hair falls out, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
And they don't make do-rags big enough to cover this. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, the response has been great. Hillsborough's been doing stuff. I know Litchfield they have another student who has vowed to cut his hair if they can hit $2,000. And I think that's really driving the kids.
Wow.
So Lincolnwood has done a lot of good things, and I'm sure Nokomis too. So, you know, like I said, I just really appreciate everybody's support. And you know, the MCECA has done a lot for my grandmother, who has battled breast cancer twice.
Yeah.
You know, we've been family friends of Alicia Grosenheider for a long time.
Forever.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's a great organization, and I give my left arm to help them out.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not next year.
I was saying, careful now.
I know. We threw around the idea of a tattoo next year, but.
Oh, boy. You're getting serious, man.
There would have to be some serious.
There's going to be some serious discussions about that.
Just make sure it's not a neck tattoo.
No. Neck and face tattoos never look cool. I don't care who you are.
You got to be a rock star or professional athlete to have any chance of pulling that off.
If Mike Tyson can't pull it off, I have no chance.
Kyle, I think between the fundraising for the Montgomery County Cancer Association, INAND Research, this is a great way for students. And we always talk to, you know, when we talk with kids, and I've been involved with, you know, sports at the lower level for years, and we always talked about giving back to the community. And this is a great way for young people to give back to the community.
Absolutely. It's a way to get them involved and realize, you know, a lot of kids do realize that there's more to life than just, you know, the stuff that goes on in their high school. There's a lot going on in the real world. You know, I'm wearing a Volley for Grace shirt now. There's like 84 sponsors on the back of this shirt.
Yeah.
It's insane. And, you know, from Morrisonville, from Lincolnwood, from Hillsborough, from Vandalia, you know, they really embraced this. Next year, there's going to be a 16-team volleyball tournament between Hillsborough and at Lincolnwood and at Hillsborough, called a Gracefield tourney.
Cool.
It's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's due to the kids. I mean, they're really sparking this. So they really have taken an interest.
It doesn't take a whole lot to motivate them, does it?
No. And the thing is, you know, I mean, the INAND stuff is special to us, but, you know, the cancer thing affects everyone.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has had somebody that is, whether it be a family member or a mentor or a friend or whatever, you know, everybody's had somebody affected by it.
Well, they did the Stand Up to Cancer thing at the Lincolnwood Hillsborough game the other night, which is something that you've seen on the Major League Baseball.
And I thought it was a really neat idea by Josh. And, you know, I mean, he's, you know, I know his family's been affected by cancer as well. And, you know, I think he did a great job with that. And I think it's something that can continue to grow and be more interesting. So Grace wants to make sure she gets her say into it.
Yes, so. Absolutely. We need to get to another break. Kyle Hirschman, Grace Hirschman joining us in studio today. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Terry Tote, Kyle Hirschman.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. By the way, we've got Illini basketball coming up this afternoon, 1 o'clock on WAOX 105.3, the Ox, as Illini take on Central Michigan, a team that's actually a pretty good basketball team. They've got a pretty good record. So that's coming up at 1 this afternoon on the Ox 105.3. Also coming up next week, as far as some high school basketball is concerned, Pena at Nokomis Tuesday night, the rival with the Pena and Nokomis, 7:30 on WSMI FM 106.1. And then a week from tonight, it's Hillsboro-Litchfield Girls. Always a wild and woolly tie. One of my favorite nights of the year.
Always a good game, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Regardless of the team.
Well, regardless of the venue. When Hillsboro-Litchfield Girls get together, always a fun time. So.
Well, and I'm intrigued by that Payne and Nokomis game. Nokomis is, you know, you look
it's Nokomis.
Well, and you look at them and you say, you know, 2-4 record, and that doesn't show how good they are. They're just a flat ton this year, you know, and for the people that have watched Nokomis, you know, you think, well, what would they be like if they had a 6'7 kid that can move a little bit?
They do
now. So Carter,
it's a Sobble kid.
Carter Sobble's going to be a good player. Can handle the ball, you know, a little bit for a bigger guy. You know, we talked about Drake Payton being one of the better point guards. Andrew Herbstreit's right up there too. Camden Ransdale's had a really good, and Austin McDowell both had really good seasons so far. And Ransdale especially, versatile, kind of like in a Devin Wright, you know, style mold. So,
and has Nokomis played a 1A school yet?
I don't think so.
Probably not,
Yeah, you know, so, I mean.
That's why the record's always so deceiving.
Is Metro East Lutheran?
That's tonight. So tonight. And that'll be a good test because Metro East Lutheran placed, what, third in their tournament, I think, or
something.
And that's
something at
like
Edwardsville
that.
Tonight.
So. Yeah, so that'll be a good test for them.
Actually, this afternoon, I think.
You know, got a win over Gillespie, got a win over Granite City where they just ran the Warriors out of the gym. And they're, like I said, they're a very good team, very, very impressive, and, you know, played very well against Marquette, who walked through that Metro East Lutheran tournament. So.
Yeah, they got a kid from Edwardsville, a kid from Collinsville, and some stud from Missouri.
Is that all?
That's all. Decent recruiting year.
Yeah, good recruiting year. But that's another subject we can continue to tackle later.
But you know, I mean, like I said, that you know, their conference or their schedule has been very tough this year. And you know what, the Nokomis girls are kind of in that same vein too. They've played some tough teams early on, and now they've gotten a couple back-to-back wins, and for Brandon Engelman, and first year head coach, and seems to be doing well.
And Nokomis, there's kind of a trend here. Early on, tough schedule. Work a lot on defense. Eventually the offense comes along, success comes along. And I think that's, you know, both boys and girls. So there's really no surprise here. And of course the boys, once they don't participate in a holiday tournament, they've got a game, maybe two, before they head into the Morrisonville tournament, and then they go directly to the Litchfield tournament. So, you know, basically the whole month of January is tournament time for them.
Yeah, and they've had success in both of those tournaments in the past few years. Obviously, Morrisonville,
they've got a couple of different teams this year, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I think...
Athens
is in.
Yeah, they had Athens
last
year, and I think they got Mulberry this year.
Mulberry
well,
Grove, yeah.
You know, whenever the MSM kind of shook up and all the MSM dancing partners kind of partnered up, and, you know, Edinburgh and South Fork combined, Lincolnwood and Morrisonville, obviously, so.
That kind of changed the landscape a little bit, didn't
it? But that's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of seeing the same MSM teams, you know, I mean, I think Athens is an excellent addition to that tournament. The last year they were really good. I'm not sure what they got this year, but I think
they play in the Sangamo Conference, which is pretty darn good. So.
Absolutely. So, you know, they bring quite a bit. I'm sure they'll bring quite a bit, you know, and because, I mean, they won Waverly Tournament, I think, last year over Lincolnwood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, should be a fun tournament.
Yeah. So, I guess probably after the first of the year, we'll find out where the sites will be as far as the regionals concerned and all that sort of thing. And of course we're still dealing with the dreaded sectional complexes.
Yeah.
Which kind of changed, the landscape of regional tournament play. But In all actuality, it worked.
As much as I love the river area,
you can avoid going there.
I don't want to drive to Calhoun. I mean, nothing
against the Calhoun people, because they're great hosts.
Calhoun's fantastic.
All the hospitality rooms beyond compare.
Calhoun folks are wonderful people. There's a lot of good restaurants over there. Not a fan of the bridge.
Yeah.
but there's a river there. Yeah. Got to do something.
Yeah.
So it's
a long haul.
Yeah, it's a long haul, especially. Whenever you have, you know, three or four regionals much, much closer, you know, against teams, like I said, it's an imperfect thing. I wouldn't want to have to figure it out myself.
Sure.
So more power to them, but yeah, it's such a long drive.
I think we've kind of come to that conclusion too, that trying to figure out, you know, X number of 100 teams in the state, however many there are, and put them in four classes and try to get some equity out of it all is, you know, it's a kind of a Kobayashi Maru, a no-win situation sometimes. You can do your best. Somebody's going to have to travel.
Always going to be that.
That's the bottom line. Well, somebody's going to have, and that was the situation even before they went to the sectional complexes. Somebody was kind of on the outside and was going to have to travel.
Well, and anytime you have classes, somebody's going to be the smallest. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to be the largest. You know, I mean, you look at Hillsboro track a couple years ago, whenever Cole Deming probably would have medaled at state in the hurdles, but he was, you know, got bumped up a class because I think Hillsboro was the smallest track school at that size, but you know, that's what it is, and it doesn't take anything away from what Cole accomplished.
No.
You know, so.
And again, this year, Litchfield girls basketball will be competing at the 3A level in postseason play. So that's, you know, just part of the result of the co-op with Lincolnwood, so.
Which is in its last year, you know. Mm-hmm. But and you can't necessarily blame Litchfield for that.
Oh no.
I understand where they're coming from, but it's also hard, you know, whenever that kind of stuff happens, it's going to be hard for Lincolnwood to maintain and to grow a program.
What are the options for Lincolnwood?
You know what? I'm not really sure. I mean, because Hillsboro will bump you up. They'll get bumped up a class.
Sure.
I guess there's a possibility. I don't know about, like, the South Fork, Morrisonville. Mm-hmm. They haven't had that much success.
Of course, Pawnee's recently. Just up the Black Diamond.
And Pawnee might be an option. I think that would probably bump them up to 2A.
To 2A, yeah.
You know, I think the thing is you find a school that maybe wouldn't mind, you know, mm-hmm. just that hasn't necessarily had that kind of postseason success, you know, that and to be honest, I'm not sure how many kids. I know there's three kids on the Lincolnwood Litchfield co-op, two of them graduate.
Right.
Savannah Bowman's the exception to that. But I don't know how many other kids are interested in playing.
And just as an opinion, I'll throw this out, that if, you know, if they think that they want to maybe get their own program going with maybe a Morrisonville and Lincolnwood combined, much like the boys do, I think the Morrisonville girls go to South Fork now, so there's still a year, at least a year on that particular thing. But to me, that wouldn't matter, because I think what you would have to do is start at the junior high level and build a program from that point up. And I think it would be foolhardy to try to get into varsity basketball without going through the junior high level and at least getting a teaching kind of thing going.
I think that's the best.
Just in my opinion.
I think that's the best long-term solution. Yeah. You know,
really wanted to do this.
You know, even back to the Nokomis days, they've all been kind of short-term solutions.
Yeah. A lot of decisions yet to be made. So we need to get to another break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini basketball for you this afternoon, hosting Central Michigan live at 1 o'clock on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. Carlinville Holiday Tournament coming up in a couple of weeks. Hillsboro boys back in. They are the top seed on the boys' side. Gillespie is the 2, and Litchfield is the 1 seed on the girls' side, with Carlinville the 2 seed.
There you go. Of course, we'll have some broadcasts from the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament underway in just about 15 minutes. Will be the quarterfinal round game at the IESA eighth grade state tournament at Metamora High School, where Gillespie's taking on St. Joseph. Gillespie 23-2, St. Joseph 19-4. These are the gals that finished second place last year in the seventh grade tournament to St. Agnes. They're in the bottom bracket. So they could be, you know,
if things work
out. Yeah, good bracket work there. So maybe another collision course. I don't know. I'd like to see Gillespie have another shot at him, wouldn't you?
I think they would like to have another shot at him as well.
Yeah, so. St. Agnes was very good, though.
They had that point.
That was the first game I got out to after my surgery last year. You very kindly allowed me to tag along with you at Auburn, and boy, it was a lot of fun to watch. And anyway, Gillespie, you know, you gotta win the first two games on that first Saturday, so that's not easy to do.
Yeah, it's set up like the old school high school state tournament where you gotta play two games in one day.
Boy, don't you miss those days.
I do.
Yeah.
That quarterfinal day in the old school state tournament where you had to win or go home, that really added something to it.
Well, you had eight different schools. That's what made it really special. You saw eight different teams on one day, you know, playing at a high level. That was just absolutely terrific, I always thought. So, but, you know.
And look out for Gillespie at the high school level the next few years.
Tell you what. Kevin Gray. You know, Gillespie got smoked the other night by Mount Olive. And, you know, Mount Olive's
going to beat a lot of teams.
They're going to beat a lot of teams. They're very quick. They you know, play great defense. They've got some weapons. But really, after, you know, especially the first quarter, Gillespie played with them. And it was kind of the deer in the headlight thing right off the bat. And Gillespie's young. They've got more girls coming in to the program. I think Kevin Gray, Tina Blevins, they've got a terrific program going at Gillespie. So.
And you know, there may be some schools, and rightfully so, that really don't want to mess with Mount Olive this year. Gillespie wants another shot at them in the county.
Oh, yeah.
Don't kid yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, they've got the programs at the lower levels going now with parents involved and former head coach Steve Joyce, I understand, and his daughter Kara.
That's good.
Involved there, so.
Woodover doesn't want to play him again.
There's going to be a lot of people that will not want to see Gillespie in the future. Trust me.
Absolutely.
Trust me. So, well, how about them Cardinals, huh?
They had a little signing, didn't they?
They had a little signing.
Yeah.
What do you think of Dexter Fowler as a leadoff man for the Redbirds, Kyle Hirschman?
I don't mind it. I'm not thrilled with no trade clauses, but, you know, but I think he looks all right, you know. I mean, I trust the Cardinals. I may be one of the few, but you know, whatever.
How do you not trust the Cardinals?
Whatever they want to do, you know, that's cool with me. I'm a little bit more laid back. I wasn't one of the ones, you know, ready to jump in the 6 foot hole, you know, whenever they hadn't signed anybody yet, but.
I was just glad to see them actually finally spend this money they've been talking about having for the last few years.
Yeah, and if they can get Encarnacion too, that would be a really good addition for them as well. It'll be interesting though.
Two things. Number one, attendance really fell off towards the end of last year, and let's just be honest, the Cardinals were a tough team to watch.
That's
last
putting
year.
It kindly.
They were just tough to watch, and I've been a Cardinal fan for, you know, decades and decades and decades, but they were tough to watch last year. They really were. And as you mentioned, the no trade clause, but you know, the one thing the Cubs are forcing teams to do is to upgrade.
Sure. Well, and basically what the Cardinals did was they traded Jason Hayward for Dexter Fowler. Yeah. I'll take that trade from the Cardinals' perspective because Jason Hayward is the biggest waste of $184 million that's ever walked the face of the earth. But he did give a really good speech, though, in the rain delay of Game 7.
Yeah.
Really good speech. Heck of a speech.
Yeah.
All-time speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could get that much money for making a speech.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Good work if you can get it.
I don't know, Kyle. You get your hair dyed and your goatee dyed purple. Who knows where that could take you, buddy. Orange or red, whatever.
It looks like I'm going to be on WWE or something.
And with the Cardinals, you know, the thing with Mozeliak is he does it so quietly.
Yeah, you don't hear about it.
You really don't hear about it. And who knows what else is coming down the pike.
But the best thing about all this is they didn't trade Alex Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
They said he was untouchable, and they made sure that he was, in fact, untouchable. Because apparently every team that inquired, they wanted Reyes, and they said, No. No.
Can't have him.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a good thing. You know, they've don't have a whole lot of weapons right now in their minor league system. You know, they brought up a lot of those guys. So, you know, it's good to keep some bullets in the gun, you know.
Well, and, you know, I'm not convinced pitching-wise that you know, Wainwright's getting older, you know, but he's going to be a serviceable pitcher.
But he's more of a 3 or a 4 now.
He's a 3 or 4 right now. You know, Michael Wacha, I'm telling you, with shoulder problems, I don't know. I don't know how his career is going to work out. If you just have to wonder. Martinez is your ace of the staff, and he's going to be that for probably a long time.
Until Reyes takes it from him
here, maybe in another year or two.
I mean, they're really set up to have co-aces here.
Yeah, they really
are. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think one of the two things that drove us crazy, I think I can speak for you, base running last year and just striking out and poor offensive execution.
And Fowler
and not
help.
Catching the ball, for God's sakes.
And Fowler will help all those areas.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Move Grzycznik to left.
Yeah.
He'll be a heck of a left fielder.
I think that takes a lot of pressure off of Grzycznik, which might help him relax at the plate a little bit more. And you know, he's good. He's got some pop. He's going to be a solid hitter. I think just that one move has certainly pushed the Cardinals and given them a big step in the right direction.
Changed the whole complexion of the club from a year ago.
Yeah, it really has.
For as awful as they were last year, you know, in Cardinal terms, awful.
Yeah.
They were on the last day of the season with a chance to make the playoffs. And, you know, in baseball, if you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So.
Sure. But when you play at such a high level for so many years, and you fall short, it's bound to happen. You know, once in a while, things just don't work out, and
you can't make the playoffs every year.
Yeah,
but it's how, like you said earlier, it's how they lost last year that was so frustrating. They just played bad baseball most of the season.
Yeah. They were a poor base running team. They you know, how many times was it a ground ball that should have been a double play? They could barely get one out. Sometimes didn't get any outs. You give teams extra out, not only an extra out, but sometimes extra outs during innings. And that really, really hurt Cardinals.
And I think last year at the start of the year from the get-go, the Cubs were in their head.
Yeah.
They changed what they did in spring training. They were doing all these different things. They weren't ready to play coming out of the gates, and they never really were able to recover. But I think maybe last year in the grand scheme of things will be the best thing that happened for the Cardinals, with the Cubs getting in their head and then winning the World Series. Yeah. It forced the Cardinals to maybe, they wouldn't have signed a free agent for $80 million like Dexter Fowler if the Cubs hadn't been doing what they had done. So maybe it'll wind up being a very good thing.
I think ultimately what's going to happen is that, you know, the year Grace was born, Cardinals won the World Series. That was the 2011, the David Freese year.
Yes.
We're expecting our second child in March.
There you go.
I like the way you think, Kyle.
You know, whenever it comes down to it, it really doesn't matter who we sign. We could have, you know, a donkey playing left field.
Well, they did have a donkey playing left field a couple games.
I was going to say, you're not wrong. So, you know, like I said, I fully expect to have my 2017 World Series Championship t-shirt coming to me anytime now.
I like it.
Yeah.
Or you'd be like that Cowboys fan who just got the Super Bowl tat.
No, that's a dumb idea.
It is a dumb idea.
Yeah. That's what we were joking whenever I said, you know, I'd get a tattoo, you know. We're not putting
it. Get one of those that, you know, comes off after a couple of showers.
That's what I thought.
This will wash off, right? No. It won't.
That's
permanent.
It really doesn't?
I just don't like pain or needles or you know, I don't know.
Needles are for sewing. Just personally,
Hey, you and me both.
Yeah. I've been poked by enough of them. I don't need to be poked by anymore. I'm going to be springing a leak here eventually. So, anyway, Kyle, thank you so much for coming out and joining us. Grace, thank you for joining us as well. Very quickly, repeat the information about what's available for the Graceville Journey.
Like you said, we have the Graceville Journey scarves. You can get them at the Journal News office in Hillsboro, or go on Facebook at A Graceville Journey. And also, if anyone wants to make a donation to the MCCA campaign as well, you can drop off your donation at the high school office of your respective town. I'm sure we'll have photos.
Oh, yeah.
And the Litchfield High School Student Council is selling temporary licenses.
That's right.
That's correct. Yeah. They're due on the 16th as well. Last year they did a Graceville Journey license plates. I believe they're $40. You can get four characters. All the money goes through INAD research for that as well. Last year we got Beat INAD on ours, which is kind of our rallying cry. So, we're really excited about that. Joe Brummett's been an awesome,
she's awesome.
Awesome support for us ever since day one.
And a big fan of WKRP in Cincinnati.
That she is.
She's a huge fan of WKRP in Cincinnati. Yes. Absolutely huge.
Turkeys can't fly, right?
Good friend of mine. Absolutely good friend of mine. Absolutely.
Chai Rodriguez.
Chai Rodriguez, yes. But that's a whole other show. Kyle, just before we run out of time, I just want to throw a compliment your way. You do such a terrific job with the covering sports and being involved in everything, and I just want to compliment you. You do a wonderful, wonderful job.
Well, I appreciate it. I really, really like what I do.
Oh yeah.
So
and we can tell.
Yeah, and I mean, I grew up listening to you on the radio, and I came in here whenever I was probably 16, 17 years old, and was warped by that experience. So
That's a pretty good description.
I came in here and thought, I think I'll go print.
Yeah. and another thing I want to say is, I appreciate you and your wife sharing Grace's journey with us. It means a lot to people around here.
You know, it's cathartic for us too. It's, we're both writers, so that's kind of what we do. You know, we kind of decided, that's how we were going to deal with this whenever, it came about in November 2014. So every step's a journey. You can go one of two ways. You can kind of hide out and shake your fist in there.
I knew that wasn't going to happen with you.
We got too much stuff going on, so we gotta be up there. So, but I really think the job that the paper has done has helped us with the Grace stuff too.
Yeah,
we try to go where we're needed. We try to support other causes through our work.
You gonna do soccer again?
Yeah. Yes, we'll have the third annual Grace Cup on. We have about 15 commitments already.
Good,
which is record numbers over lately. So we're looking forward to it in June.
That's great. That's great. Kyle Hirschman, Grace Hirschman, thank you for coming by and being on Sports Saturday. We really appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Tim.
Yes, Tim Mize, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So handsome.
Well, thank you, sir. My hair won't be purple, I'll tell you that.
Or he could get the buzz. Sometimes in the summer times, he gets the buzz,
Those days are past.
Those days are long gone.
It'll stop growing back if I keep it.
Hey, we've got the Illini this afternoon, 1 o'clock on the Ox 105.3.